and welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
You listeners, on the one hand, you do not need to hear all of the non-recorded conversation. On the other hand, you would thoroughly enjoy some of the unrecorded conversation. I've been talking to Kevin Ezell, and we were supposed to begin about 20 minutes ago, but we wanted to catch up, but we haven't seen each other for a while, and so we did some catching up. Kevin, do you want me just to kind of repeat everything that?
No, absolutely not. It's just good to have a friend, and man, I tell you, it's just always, and especially in the midst of a pandemic, just to be able to vent and share with a friend that you trust and know that in great confidence he would never share what you shared offline.
No, I would not, and I'm not going to share it with this audience or anybody else. But a lot of the sharing was, you know, what have you been doing with your family? How's your family doing? And you know I'm old. I'm a 65-year-old fella, and I know I'm old. I've got 11 grandkids, and they're getting older. But to hear Kevin Ezell talk about how many grandkids now?
Yeah, I got six. You know, it's fun though. The time is, you know, man, the journey can be a grind at times, but it's who you do the journey with. And I'm not trying to be overly sentimental here, but man, we've known each other for a long time. I mean, I remember when your boys were going through high school back in Louisville, and
yes,
and watching you parent, and you've given me much parenting advice, you know, to navigate some of those waters and those years. And just to have 15 and 20 years with somebody, it's really neat to reflect. And it's just, it's real important who you do the journey with, do the journey. So
grateful for you, and man, going all the way back to when you got your doctorate and then coming into pastor in Louisville, and then ultimately going to NAM.
Yeah. Man,
what a journey.
I feel like we need to light a candle and start some romantic music, but like, I guess we need to move on. So,
okay. The name of this podcast, in case you are wondering what we're doing, is Revitalize and Replant, sponsored by the North American Mission Board. You'll hear us reference that as NAM, N-A-M-B, from time to time, and by churchreplanters.com. And here's the thing. It's more than just a talking point. With as many as 1 out of 10 or even more in the pandemic of churches in North America at risk of closing, the North American Mission Board is doing everything they can to reverse that trend. They want to decrease the death rate of existing churches, and they want to start new churches, and they are. It's not just want to, they are. So if you want to learn more about what it means to become a replanting pastor and explore resources for replanting and revitalization in your own church, visit churchreplanters.com. Kevin, one of the things that we were talking about offline, among many things, from lakes to grandchildren to vacation and all of those issues, we were talking about how tough the pandemic has been on a lot of people, and it's been tough on a lot of pastors. And I know that you're getting a lot of feedback from pastors just sharing with you what they're going through.
Yeah, they're just exhausted. You know, I think we went through like the first month or two, and it was kind of everybody had to be creative, and they're on their game trying to adjust and call an audible. And then it went to the third month, and then now they're just getting fatigued and trying to, you know, how many times you do it different. You know, I preached Sunday at a particular church, and everybody had masks on. All you could see is their eyes. And, you know, that's different than preaching to an empty room, but not much different than preaching. I didn't realize how, you know, dependent I was upon people's responses and not being able to touch and hug and connect with people. You know,
this introvert says, yes.
But you're right, though. I think it's just the length of this and the fact that we don't see an end. You know, we don't see a potential end anytime soon.
Exactly.
And then you throw the social unrest and then an election and all the negativity on the news. And it's just hard to find, you know, an escape. And pastors have got to be very courageous through these very difficult waters. It's tough. There are a lot of lonely guys out there.
Well, one thing that I have done during the pandemic that I've never done before is I've made myself focus on just a few minutes of social media a day. I'm talking about going through Facebook feeds in particular, but also Twitter feeds, just because I can get so depressed just looking at comments the Christians are making, not to mention the rest of the world.
Yeah, they're way too much time on their hands, you know.
Yes, and I want to make sure I don't. So we talk about church leaders who will lead well. Obviously, one of the characteristics is that they are courageous. Anything in particular you're seeing with some of these leaders, that pastors that are just willing to do some things differently in this era, this time, that they're willing to take some steps of faith?
Yeah, it's really, I think what's been encouraging me is to see some of the older pastors, you know, have to advance 5, 10, 15 years from where they were in their mm-hmm. mindset of how to do ministry. And that's been one of the blessings to see them. And they just adjusted. You know, there's some guys that didn't know about Facebook Live, and now they're doing it every week, and would have sworn they would have never done it. But they, you know, and so and they've been humbled, taking instruction from their grandkids on how to do some of that. Exactly. And I love the story about a pastor in Kentucky that his granddaughter taught him how to do first Facebook Live, and then he started doing his services, and they have, you know, have three times the viewership he normally has, you know, in a worship service.
Which brings up the second characteristic of these leaders that is really tied to the first. It's hard to separate them. Willing to lead and think outside the box. When I think about that, I'm thinking about a pastor by the name of Kevin Ezell. I don't know if you remember him from way back, but there were so many things I watched you do as a pastor that people had a initial reaction. Well, we've never done it that way before, and you didn't articulate this response, but your action was, I understand that. That's why it's time to do it this way. And you were one of the early adopters, real early adopters of the multi-site model. And you know, it's common now, but boy, it was not common when you were a pastor. Now we're coming into a time where we're having to think outside the box again. We're estimating, Kevin, between 20 to 30% of the pre-COVID attendance will not return. Yeah. So, and this is based upon informal, not studied surveys, not statistically validated, but informal surveys with people. And they're basically saying they're not going to return. So we're not going back to a new normal. We're going back to a new reality. And so that means thinking outside the box.
No, you're exactly right. And I mean, used to just to try to lead, you'd think outside. Now you're forced. I mean, everyone has to think outside. Their boxes were way too small anyway, but you're forced to. And again, navigating these waters, there's no manuals, or, you know, hopefully a book come out soon about how to navigate the post pandemic. But
you're talking about my book. I know you are.
Yeah, I mean, really though, I mean, there is no manual on how to do this, and I think you're exactly right. You think about, you know, now guys, people are getting used to watching online, where they're not having to look for a parking spot, they're not having to get the kids dressed, and the kids can sit down in their pajamas and eat a donut or whatever it is, and be a part of the service. You know, they miss the interaction, but some of the churches are such a size they don't get a lot of personal interaction when they go there anyway. Some don't. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're right. And we just got to get ahead of this and embrace it. I think it also helps us redefine what success, what our metrics are, you know.
Oh, that's often great.
Pastors just focus on, you know, how much was the attendance, and instead of the disciples that we actually made and how we made them. So it's having to, you know, I have to rethink everything.
One of the things that is happening during this pandemic still going on that's been really encouraging is corporate prayer ministries have grown, maybe by default, because there's only so many ministries you can do, but a lot of churches have adopted digital prayer ministries where you can submit prayer requests. But I think you said it well, Kevin, we've never been here. And so a pastor who is not prayerful and dependent upon God is a pastor who doesn't have any direction whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So one of the encouraging things is just churches are getting more prayerful, and pastors are understanding that I can't do this alone, or I cannot do this in my own strength and my own power.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And which, again, could be one of the greatest opportunities. As you know, in history, churches seem to expand and grow in the challenging times more than the easy. And so it could be an incredible opportunity, ministry expansion, but it just, how we measure the success is going to have to change.
Mark and I, Mark Clifton and I, we used to have these every other episode, but now we have a series of Marks, a series of Kevin, and then maybe every other episode. So I don't want people to predict when Mark's going to be here, Kevin's going to be here. We do it now just as we need. But Mark and I have been talking about new nomenclature, new terminology. And we've been using the word, actually came from Sam Rainer, adoption for church replanting, to bring a new church into the family. In other words, yeah, you still have authority over that person you're bringing bringing them in, but they're part of the family now. So we started using adoption. Mm-hmm. I took Sam's word that he used when he started his, when they replanted or started a church in Bradenton. I used his word adoption, and I extended a little bit more, and we started talking about fostering. And another movement that has taken place is churches, stronger churches helping weaker churches, whether or not they end up adopting them or not. So Sam told the story of how West Bradenton went into Southside Church and provided worship leadership for him. Then when the pastor left, providing pulpit leadership for him. And ultimately that church came back and said, can we be a part of your family? But he went from a fostering relationship with not necessarily an end game of adoption to that. What I'm saying is that is new. Churches have helped churches, and churches have started churches. That is not new, but how we're doing it is new. And so, gosh, you know, how can we help these leaders understand the times? There are a few of them out there that are getting it, and a lot of them, kind of like most of us, are just wondering what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I love the term fostering and adopt. The whole idea is you go in to figure out what the real need is, and then meet the need. You know, so many guys have a, here's my answer, what's the question, when they go to a problem, instead of trying to really like what they need, you know, like, okay, we're going to adjust. Some churches just really do need some help along the way, but you've got to be positive. But we've, as you know, we've adopted 3 children, and my wife's very involved in fostering, but when you adopt, man, your intentions are good, but you're adopting things that are broken. Typically there's a reason the system, their lives are broken. And when they're broken, it comes with, a whole different set of issues that you may encounter. And you don't even know what those are going to be from stage to stage. You got to be flexible. And I just think that's a part of servant leadership. When you're going into this, where you're really trying to serve them, then you're going to adjust to what their needs are. And it's not, I love those terms. It actually explains much better what you're trying to do, instead of a replant can seem a little cold at times.
Well, Mark started using them, so I hope he'll tell you that.
Yeah.
he started using adoption instead of replant, and now we're using fostering. Fostering could lead to a lot of adoption. Or it may just be helping a church. For our season. So I opened up at Church Answers a training session, and I said, we'll walk with you for, I think, 5 or 6 sessions, and we'll talk to you about what we're seeing in fostering. And the response was huge. Just absolutely huge. In fact, when we did the free webinar, and there was a few thousand who actually came and wanted to hear about it. So there's an interest in that. And some churches are seeing one way that they can fulfill the Great Commission, trying to figure out metrics, is to help other churches.
Exactly.
Instead of how much can we fill up this bucket? Let's go help some other churches.
Yeah, I think if guys would take on, we try to teach our planners, look, it's about reaching a city, not growing a church. You know, I mean, we want you to grow that. We want you to plant a church, but we want you to own the city, to reach a city, however that may be. And so you cannot do it alone. And I think it'd be fantastic. We get, all of our churches to think more, we're in this together, and how can we serve and help? That'd be, if anything else we learn out of this, that would be fantastic.
So we've talked about these leaders in the post-pandemic era coming out, courageous. They're willing to lead and think outside the box. They're prayerful or dependent upon God. They're the Issachar people. They're willing to understand the times, and then willing to count the cost. Let me give you a conversation I had with the pastor actually last night. The pastor said, "I've had it. I'm just ready to quit." And from my perspective, looking at the pastor from the outside, looking in, it was a healthy situation. Okay, relatively healthy. But obviously it was not healthy in his situation. And basically he was weary of the critics. He was weary of the tension during the pandemic, even though he didn't articulate that. But he used the phrase, it's been death by a thousand cuts. He said, it's just been one little thing after another. So a pastor comes to you and in the midst of the pandemic, even if they've regathered or not, and they say, I'm ready to quit. When someone comes to you, I know every situation is different, but how do you respond in such a situation when they say, I've just had it, I'm ready to quit, when it looked like a healthy situation?
I try to get them to slow down. You know, sometimes you make emotional decisions. I just talked to a pastor who said, man, I just don't have the energy to fight it. I just don't. And I try to tell them to take one step at a time. Don't make an emotional decision. And it's easy just to say, I'll forget it all. And when we've all had those thoughts, you know, of, man, is it really, you know, there's not something easier, and there might be easier opportunities, but I have just to slow down and prayerfully consider and think through it and bounce it off other people. I've seen guys make very rash decisions, you know, to throw it all away and to flush it and move on. And as you know, it's much easier to go to transition to something from something, mm-hmm, than to transition to something from nothing. And so
some of them are making mistakes just by having the nothing. You're exactly right.
Yeah. I've seen guys make this, you know, make wrong decisions by making too quick of a decision more than I've seen guys think through it longer. You know, I've had more people say, I wish I'd have waited or thought through it more, than some say, I wish I'd done that quicker. The only things I wish I'd done quicker is get rid of bad staff, you know.
So yeah, or confront toxic people in the church, maybe.
No, exactly. Because you never think, oh man, I wish I'd have waited 6 more months and endured 6 more months of that. Every time I finish it, I'm thinking, man, I should have done that sooner. It's so much better for everybody now, you know.
Well, after he called me, I called him back, then I had a series of 3 calls, one from each son, almost in order, Jess, then Sam, and then Art. And I said, Art, I just got off the phone with the pastor, and he happened to know the pastor because Art helps with some of the coaching that we do at Church Answers. And I said, have you been talking to him? And he said, I have. And I said, what's your counsel to him? And he said, well, Dad, I just tell him, don't make a rash decision in the times that we're in right now. Everybody's on edge, which is exactly what you just said. Yeah. That right now, good gracious, I'm glad I'm not having a family reunion right now, because we'd be killing each other. Yeah. It's a tough time, and see what's on the other side. Give it some time. Just exactly what you said. One day at a time. One day at a time. So before we end this podcast, Kevin, just general counsel, anything that you want to tell church leaders as we're maybe getting out of the quarantine, but still in the pandemic, but beginning to regather, what kind of word do you want to tell them specifically from Kevin Ezell personally and from Nam as well?
Well, you're kind of say, you know, in Acts 18, the Lord came to Paul in a vision when he said, hey, do not be silent and do not quit. Continue, keep on speaking about the gospel. And then he said, the reason is you don't have to quit. And he actually says, do not fear and keep on speaking. The reason we don't have to be afraid and we can keep on speaking is, he says, because I am with you. And there's many people in this city that you know not of. To me, though, he's saying is, look, I've got this. I'm with you every step of the way. Trust me, I'm with you. And that's why even the psalmist said, you know, okay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. But then when he says, and Paul, look, I've got many people in this city you know not of. To me, what he's saying is, Paul, look, I'm going to use you to do things you never dreamed of. There's so much going to happen that you have no idea about. There's many people in this city that you know not of. I do, but you don't. And so just trust me, I've got a plan, and you're going to have to just let, you know, trust me in this. And the fact is, so many of us, we've had such, it's been so easy at times. We've not had to have the true faith and complete trust. And it makes us uncomfortable. And that's why we want to adjust things real quick so we can get back to an easy walk. But I just think it's a time to, I just had to remind myself, it's like, look, sometimes even in the midst of this, you got to understand, man, he's got this. And there's, he knows what the future holds, even though we don't.
That's a good word. Great word. To all of you pastors and other church leaders, on behalf of Kevin Ezell and the North American Mission Board and me and Church Answers, we just want you to know that we know, we hear, we pray, and we're here for you in any way that we can. And that's not just a trite comment, but we are. We appreciate so much of you here on the front lines of ministry, and we want to continue to serve you. And one of the ways we serve you, thank you for all of the response we're getting to this podcast. Y'all are honoring us by continuing to be here and just responding significantly. So continue to join us at Revitalize and Replant. And hey, please, wherever you listen, you know, you might be listening to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to Revitalize and Replant, give us a rating and review. If it's good, of course. If it's not, I'll give you Kevin's email and you can contact him. Thank you again for listening to Revitalize and Replant, where we're helping adopt and foster churches to greater health together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.